There's a parallel institution in halacha to what we discussed last week, which was the institution of Eved Ivri, of a Hebrew or Jewish slave. And the parallel institution is an Ama Ivriya, a Jewish maid, a Hebrew maidservant. The Jewish maidservant is basically happens when a man becomes extremely, extremely poor. He's completely destitute. He has doesn't even have a shirt on his back, is the literal the language that the halakha uses. And in that case, he's permitted to sell his daughter, who's under the age of 12, and minor, according to halakha, into slavery. So the question is, sons, they're not applied to this. The question is also, can, as Morris actually asked last week, can a woman become an Eved Ivri, or is there the only time that a female can become a slave, according to halakha, is this halakha of Ama Ivriya, of a young girl that her whose father sells her into slavery. So this is actually a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, that the Rambam holds that everybody agrees that the type of Eved Ivri where the court, he can't pay back something that he stole, so the court sells him into slavery, everybody agrees that does not apply to a woman. Even if a woman stole something and she had to pay it back, even and didn't have the money to pay it back, that a court cannot sell her into slavery. The question is, what happens if someone becomes so destitute that they have no recourse rather other than to sell themselves into slavery? So in that case, the Ramban holds, Nachmanides holds, that the woman can sell herself into slavery, and the Rambam holds that it applies across the board that a woman cannot become an Eved Ivri. A woman cannot become a regular Jewish slave. The only time that a female could become a Jewish slave is through the halacha of Ama Ivriya. That's when the father sells his minor daughter into slavery. So the question is, that the not really discussed amongst the early commentators, is we see that a father is only allowed to sell his daughter into slavery if he's so destitute he literally has nothing, absolutely no assets to his name, he can't afford to live. Perhaps this would even be to the daughter's benefit, that she'd have someone to take care of her when she's working in someone else's household. They'd have to feed her, or they have to give her all the privileges that are accorded to the that are afforded to the Eved Ivri also. So the question is, well, let's say, you know, there's a father who's perfectly rich and decides that he doesn't, you know, doesn't want his daughter lying around, so he decides to sell his minor daughter into slavery, even though he's not completely destitute. So there's the Minchas Chinuch discusses it. It's not exactly clear whether the sale would even be valid. So the question is l'chatchila, he's not allowed to do it unless he's completely destitute, but if he sold her and he wasn't destitute, then after the fact, this girl would become a slave, or the sale is not even valid at all, and the girl would just go back to her father, and the sale would be completely invalid, and the little girl would not be a slave at all. So that's the question. So Bafter, there's no mitzvah per se that discusses the background to the Ama Ivriya, so just sort of assume. So the Chinuch here launches into mitzvah Mem Gimel, which is the 43rd mitzvah, is mitzvahs yi'ud shel Ama Ivriya, the mitzvah of designating a Jewish female slave. So the mitzvah is as follows, li'yaid Ama HaIvriya, to designate her. So what does that mean? Kilomar she'oso Yisrael shekona Ama HaIvriya, cannot be someone who's not Jewish, it has to be someone who's Jewish who buys an Ama Ivriya. It's a mitzvah on the person who purchases this young maiden to marry her. Oh, there's another alternative. Either he has to marry her or he has to give her to his son. If she's unfitting in the eyes of her master, and he will redeem her. So what this is telling you is that the Torah's formulation of this, since it says if he didn't designate her, then he should redeem her. So what's telling you is that yiud is preferable. The redemption, designation is preferable to just redeeming her and having her become free from slavery. It says in the Mechilta, the text we discussed last week, mitzvahs yiud kodemes lemitzvahs pediyah. The mitzvah of marrying the young slave girl is considered preferable to the mitzvah of redeeming her and having her come by a way of ending her slavery early. So we saw before also where there are two different types of things you could do to something that where we have the mitzvah of Peter Chamor, the firstborn donkey, where you had two options. Really, you're supposed to redeem it with a kosher animal and a young kosher animal, or if you don't do that, then you have to kill it. So really, it's considered preferable to redeem it. So here too, even though redemption here is the unpreferable one, here there are two different mitzvahs that you could potentially do to this young slave girl, but it's better to marry her. Okay. Mishorshe mitzvah zo. What's the reasoning for this mitzvah? Sherichem hakel al ho'aniyo hanim keres, de'alaviyah shenitztarech lemachra. That God had mercy on the young poor girl who was sold and on her father who had to sell her. Vitziva hakona osalisa osaliisha. So he commanded the person who bought her to marry her, velasosa gveres, not only to take her out of slavery and she'll become the mistress of the household once she marries the master. Ki keil rachum mechanan, who is a merciful God. Vim ein hakone chafetz ba la'atzmo she'asiyan levnov. Let's say the owner is 60 and he has a... Okay, let's reduce the ages. Let's say the owner is... 30, let's say the owner is 36, and he doesn't, and a six-year-old girl is not for him, so he'll allow his 18-year-old son or 16-year-old son to marry the six-year-old girl, which is considered more of a, I guess this is a closer age. I'm just giving that as an example. It could be for any reason. So she could. You could, so of course. You could get married after Bar Mitzvah. Absolutely. Technically, halachically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a girl could get married earlier in certain circumstances, but not for a woman to get married of her own will and for a male to acquire a wife of his own will, they have to be above 13 and 12. So the way this would be done... Kigam im ben adonea tismach v'togel. She'll be happy with the son of her master, because she'll also get to a much higher social status if she marries the son of her master, even if she doesn't marry the master himself. So the way this is done, actually, by the marriage, is you don't even have to do another act of kiddushin. He doesn't have to give her more money and say harei mikudeshesli. He just takes two witnesses, and he says harei mikudeshesli, or if the son gave permission for him to perform the marriage on his behalf, so he just says harei ad mikudeshes livni in front of two witnesses, and he doesn't have to do another act of kiddushin. Why?
No way.
Because the original money that he paid for her, mm-hmm. or the original shtar that was given from the document that was given from the father to the master, is considered to be on the condition that potentially they'll get married. So that money actually acts as, retroactively, it acts as kiddushin as well. So you don't have to have a new act of kiddushin. So it's very simple and very easy to do yiud on if you have a young female Hebrew maidservant. Because it's considered to be in her benefit. People in these destitute situations would rather have a life of slavery, like we had in the last week's parsha when we had the Eved Ivri, where he has the option of serving his master forever, and he goes to the door and they bang his ear with it all. Because a lot of times it was much better in social society to be a slave rather than to be a destitute free person. Here he's really encroaching on the territory of the next mitzvah, which is to redeem her. So if he's not going to marry her, he should at least provide her with the ways of her receiving her freedom. Really, the main point of this mitzvah is that to make sure that she shouldn't work the entire time period that she's set out for. Gam im Yishra be'enav avodasa harbe, even im Yashra, im Yashra be'enav avodasa harbe, even if she performs fantastic service, her polishing silver is not to be matched, she washes the floor, she washes the dishes much better than the other wives do, I'm just kidding, well, it could be in theory. Then, even if she's a really good servant, then even so, he should try to cut short her period of servitude. The Chose Michaste Hakel al Bruav Umimidosav Hamaulos is one of God's fantastic character traits. He gave us these mitzvos to be merciful on people who are otherwise downtrodden. Dinei ha-mitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah are as follows. Kigon, ad masai habas nimkeres, until what age can the young girl become sold, and that is until she's 12 years old. What? 12 years and a day, right. So until she's, the period between 12 years old and 12 years and 6 months is called a na'ara, as opposed to a bogeris, which is after 12 years and 6 months, assuming she's produced the physical signs indicating her physical maturity, which most people are assumed to have done by that age. So in that case, from the ages of 12, from 12 to 12 and a half, the girl is sort of in limbo between adulthood and childhood. In other words, her father could still marry her off, or she could marry herself off. But once she turns 12 and a half, at that point, then she's completely independent. Her father already has no jurisdiction over her whatsoever. Even starting in the Nara, even when she becomes, when she turns 12 years in a day, what we would now call nowadays 12 years old, then the father can no longer sell her as a Hebrew maidservant. The She'ena nimkeres al yedei adon, that this person who purchased her from the father cannot sell her to anyone else. That we're going to discuss in another mitzvah as well, that you can't, she can't go from hand to hand to hand to hand. There are only two options. Either she goes by the master, who's bought her directly from the father, or she's with her father. Here is a case, as opposed to the case we were discussing at the beginning of the shiur, which is a question as to whether the father sells her daughter, his daughter, if he's not destitute. In this case, if the master sold her to someone else, the sale is not even valid. So she continues to be in the possession of the first master, even if the second person who wanted to buy her gave $1 billion for her. It doesn't matter. This doesn't apply, however, to the father. So, for example, if the father, if she's sold to the master, and then the father coughs up the money to redeem her, then the father gets her back, then the father finds himself destitute again, so he can sell to someone else. But it has to, you can't always the first master. They can't be master after master. It has to go master, father, master, father, master, father. The hadvarim shehi, also, and this would be a case where, let's say, the master performed yud. If the master performed yud and married her, basically, and let's say he died, so she became a widow at age 8. So in that case, that also she would go back to the father, and the father could sell her again. The hadvarim shehi nikneis bahen, so how could she purchase? Basically, she's purchased through the owner giving, the person who wants to buy her, giving something of monetary value to the father, or the father giving over a document to the potential owner saying that his daughter is sold to him. V'shehi yotzeis b'hen l'cheirus, how could she get her freedom? So basically it's all the ways that an Eved Ivri could get his freedom. In other words, some of them include, let's say, he pays up the money for the rest of the debt that he pays for his freedom, or he gets a shtar of freedom from his owner, or he works for 6 years, or all these different things. Uvechama yitzios he aseira al heaven. There are some ways that she could retain her freedom more than the male slave, which is if she turns 12 under the guy's servitude and he hasn't married her yet, then she can no longer be an ama ivriya, and she goes free automatically. The Dine Habogeris, also if she becomes, right, like I said, if she becomes out of her father's purview at all, so of course she can't be sold. Uzman Ha'ilanis, also if she's sterile and she doesn't have the proper hormones and she's not gonna fully develop and she's never gonna produce the physical signs of maturity. So in that case, I would just goes according to the years, assuming you know for sure that she's an islandess. Be'eser prater, and the rest of the details, mivorim berishon shel kiddushin. So this is explained in the first chapter of Masechas Kiddushin. V'noheges bizman sheyovel noeg davka, the same as the Eved Ivri, this is only applicable in a time where there's a jubilee year, because of course, just like an Eved Ivri goes free during the jubilee year, so too, the Hebrew maidservant goes free if there's a jubilee year. Even if she's only worked, let's say she gets sold 1 year before the jubilee, and then there's a jubilee, so the master lost out. Although ideally he should perform yud beforehand, and you should marry, and then he can keep her as a full wife, of course. The over alzev, someone who violates this, velo yada lo lo velo livno, Let's say he didn't marry her off to himself or his son. Velo siyeya befigyona lo kiya mitzvah zo. And he didn't help her redeem herself. He didn't fulfill this mitzvah. Ava ein lechufo lefi hadome al kiyum zo mitzvah. So you shouldn't say, well, let's force him to do this mitzvah, just like we say in other mitzvahs that say other positive commandments, where the Beis Din forces him to fulfill the mitzvah. So this is not one of those cases. Why? Sherei kasuv sham beferush bim shlosh eila lo yasela. If he doesn't, the pasuk says there are certain consequences if he doesn't do these three things for her. So that implies that meklal shatora hinicha davar b'tzono, that it's completely on at his discretion to, if he wants to fulfill the mitzvah or not. So it's not relevant, the idea of forcing him to fulfill it, because it has to be on his discretion. Umikol makom imasa kein kiya mitzvah. If he did yiud or helped her redeem herself, then he fulfilled the mitzvah. V'asa karoi, that's the proper thing to do. V'tavu ala bracha, and he'll get blessings from God because he fulfilled the will of God the way it was supposed to be, even though there's no punishment specifically involved for not doing it. Uvanim tovim uksherim rum latseis mizivugam. And this is a special blessing that from the union of the master and the Hebrew maidservant, there should come out good kids. Okay. So mitzvah mem dalet is very much connected to this. The 44th mitzvah is mitzvah's pidyon ama ha'ivriya. This is the mitzvah to redeem the Hebrew maidservant. Lifdos ama ha'ivriya shenemar ve'hefda. And he should redeem her. Zo mitzvah sasei. To redeem her is a mitzvah sasei. Kolomar shiasayeh ha'don ha'kono sabifidyona vitein la'makom lashuv leveisaviyah. He should make her way back to her father's house as easy as possible. Kimo sha'amru zichronim livracha. As the Chazal tell us, shemegareya pidyona v'teitzei. So just like an Eved Ivri, like I gave you the example last time, just like an Eved Ivri could pay the master for his remaining time and go free. Kilomar shim lakacha b'shishim dinarim. He paid 60 dinarim for her. L'shei shanim, of course, it's for 6 years. V'avda shalosh, and she worked for half the time. The kavtza shlosha dinarim, shloshim dinarim. Let's see, she saved up somehow 30 dinarim. Shikachem v'shalchena. So he should accept this payment and send her free. Of course, this is sort of, it's a little bit hard to understand, because as long as she pays him the money, she goes free. It's not like he has to accept it or not, but he's going to explain more. She shouldn't say, no, you should finish your work with me the rest of the years you have with me, in any case. What do you mean? She could have used these for the last 3 years, so I want more money to redeem her. No, it has to be. But once she pays this money, once she pays the amount of time that she has remaining, so she goes free no matter what, just like an Eved Ivri. It's not subject to the master's discretion in this way. So tosavli revachim tirtzala says, "Lo, she should pay me more if she wants to go free." She ain't zekim roa lev. This is bad. This is bad heartedness. V'levnei Yisrael shem b'nei melachim. So the children of Israel were the children of kings, Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim, merciful, the children of merciful. Roi lohem lasos chesedim habrios, avki la'asher avodum, that they should do loving kindness with all creations, even if people are serving them, v'afilo yom echad. Even people who serve them even for one day should be worthy of their mercy. The reasoning is the same thing as we wrote in Yud, that it's part just to be, we have to get good midos, and we have to be nice, and be, even for people who are serving us, we shouldn't demand all we could take. We should be recognizing what they do for us, and that this isn't really the situation they're supposed to be in. Jewish people are not supposed to be slaves, like it says. Avodai Haim, it's not good to be an Eved Ivri. It's not good to be an Amo Ivri. Avodai Haim, God says, the Jewish people are my slaves. Velo Avodim La Avodim. They're not supposed to be slaves to my slaves. So God is supposed to only have one set of slaves. Okay, Mishor Shemitzvah, Kimosh Kesav Miyud, Ufratam Gam Kim B'Kiddushin. Right, so the details of this mitzvah are also found in Maseches Kiddushin. We discussed last time why they're found in Maseches Kiddushin as opposed to anywhere else. So Mitzvah Mem Hei, the 45th mitzvah, Shelo Yimkor Ama HaYivriya Hakona Osa Miyad Ha'av. So we alluded to this before, that someone, the master of the Hebrew maidservant, should not sell her. Shekol Mi Sheyikne Ama HaYivriya, anybody who buys a Hebrew maidservant, Lo Yimkoren El Adam Acher La'olam, should not sell her to anyone else ever. Shenemar La'am Nachri Lo Yimshol Le'machra B'Vigdova, to a foreign nation, he shall not have the power to sell her when it's because he's betraying her. Uperusho ketargumo. It doesn't mean a foreign nation, literally. Ligvar uchran. It means to another man. Ulaharchik hadavar neamar. B'lashon hazeh. This is to just to show how terrible it is to make it far away from your consciousness. Kilomar shedome la'ani haktana imochra la'adam acher. So for this poor young maid servant girl who's already being sold out of her father's house, so if you sell her, it's like an extra golos. If you sell her, if you would traipse her around to someone else's house and then to another guy, she's going to keep going from one place to place to place to place. It's like, as if you sold her to a foreign nation that she really has no connection to whatsoever. So it's like it's that traumatic for her, shall we say. As if you, it's not literally like you sold her to a foreign nation, but it's that traumatic for her. Mishor sheha mitzvah. The reasoning for the mitzvah is as follows. Shiratza kel. Lezako Seinu, the God wanted to give us merits. V'tzivanu lisnag b'midas hachemla ha'ahuva lefanav. God wanted us to deal with compassion, which he loves. He loves the character trait of compassion. Dini ha'mitzvah, kasuv l'malo v'mitzvah siyud. So 2 mitzvahs ago, we discussed all the halachos of Amma ha'ivriya. Okay, so mitzvah memvav, the 46th mitzvah. So you should not reduce the quantity of these things that you're required to give to the Amma Ivriya who've you married. And we'll see that by extension it applies to other, to of course every wife. Shekol kona Amma HaIvriya v'yada, or yada, that anybody who bought an Amma Ivriya and designates her, in other words, marries her, shelo yigrala she'era ksusa ve'onasa, that he shouldn't reduce her she'er ksus and ona. So what does that mean? Uperus she'er is mazon, that she'er means her food, he has to give her the proper amount of food. Uksus kemashmo, and clothing is just what it sounds like, covering. The ona derech eretz, and ona means the proper sexual fulfillment that the wife needs.
How old is this girl that he's dealing with?
Under 12. Right. But, a girl can get married under 12 under certain circumstances. She can't get married of her own accord until she's 12. But if she gets married by other means, like her father betroths her, or she becomes an Amma Ivriya and then her master marries her, so she could get married under 12. Yeah.
Is she married, or is she just engaged?
You mean like milreses?
Yes.
So this, right, the yud is like erusin, but she could become an isu also. Once she move, then she could move in with her husband / master.
But she doesn't have to. Does she?
I guess like, they could theoretically. Yeah, in theory they could do the nisuin later, but you know, he doesn't have to. Of her own accord, she'd get married when she's 12. Yeah. I mean, things used to be different back then, to say the least.
I don't want this man for a husband. She could protest and then she could get out of it.
No, that's you're talking about miyun. That's only if the father marries his daughter off when she's a ktana, then that's absolute kiddushin. Then she can only get out of that relationship either if the husband dies or she receives a get, or her father receives a get on her behalf.
I don't want him. She could say, I don't want him.
No, that's only if her father dies, she's a Yesoma, and her brothers or other family members or her mother married her off, which is not a full marriage according to Torah law. So in that case, the Chazal instituted that she doesn't need a get for him to die, that it's enough for her to say when she grows up that she doesn't want to be married to him. Because anyway, the whole institution is only rabbinic, that her brothers or her mother could marry her off. Uvichlal lavze, kol benos Yisrael gamkein, that all the daughters of Israel also are applicable in this halacha. Shelo ligro lehen davar meile, so a married woman should not receive reduced measure of any of these three things. The kal v'chomer advarim, it's like... It's a kal v'chomer that if it's the case by an Amma Ivriya, so for sure it should be by a free woman. Im lezolo yigra kol shekein lacheros benos charin. If you're not supposed to reduce the amount for the Amma Ivriya, so for sure for a free woman, if not. V'zeh shekasuv kemishpat habanos yaselah. It's telling, the pasuk even says that you should do for the Amma Ivriya like you do for other women. It says explicitly. Amr b'mechilta. The Mechilta, the Medrash on the Sefer Shmos that tells us all the halachos, says, Shehu ba'alamed v'nimtza lamed, is trying to tell you halacha, And really, you're learning in details from that that it's more than what it's trying to teach you. Shabonos lemedos mimena, that the rest of the Jewish women learn out from the Ama Ivriya what they're supposed to get when they get married. So, midini ha-mitzvah, the lachos of the mitzvah, masha amru zichronim livracha, ha-masna imishto amenash ein lich alai sher ksus ve'onam adino. So, well, let's say a man wants to marry a woman, and he says, harea mikudeshesli, but I'm not giving you these three things. So what happens? You might think it's masna mashaka subatorah, that you're making a condition that abrogates something that's written in the Torah, so it's not valid. However, that's not necessarily true, because if there is a monetary condition, then you can make that the condition is valid, even if it goes against something written in the Torah. So for that reason, the Rambam and most poskim say that if you say you don't get these, here you're married to me, but you don't get these three things, so it's only your condition is only valid for the food and the clothing, because that's monetary things that you give her. But your tanai doesn't work for the conjugal rights because that's not a monetary thing. So it's not monetary. There are opinions that that's not true. That the condition works even for the mitzvah of ona. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't know why a woman wouldn't want to get married if she wasn't going to get all three things that she deserves. Interestingly, some scholars think that ona doesn't really mean conjugal rights. It means ointments. It means like cosmetics. I've seen recently that even in academic circles, there's been some defense of the traditional interpretation in recent years. Not that it matters at all for halachic purposes. We still go according to the halacha that we do. Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. You're not supposed to do that, obviously. The question is, if you did it, is the condition valid or not? You're 100% right. You absolutely should not. Right, and if you signed the ksuba, then you undo the condition, because the ksuba is written in. It lists all three things in the ksuba. Umasha amru sho'isha ola im habal ve'ina yoredes. So it's the woman, let's say a poor woman marries a rich man. So you might think that he could say to her, well, in your father's house, you were used to getting new clothes once every 2 years, and you were used to, you know, some stale bread for during the week, and, you know, a few pieces of herring on Shabbos. So I think, I don't really want to provide you with more than that. You're used to that. So the halacha tells us that that's not true, that she's, once she marries a rich man, so she gets the food and the clothes that he's going to give her. So the halacha is, in general, that these things, that the food and the clothing goes according to your, like we just said, your status in terms of your financial comfort, and according to the minag of the place. So here in America, you know, it would be unreasonable. Now, for well, someone's really destitute, most modern Orthodox Jews in America can afford to have chicken every Shabbos, if not meat. Then you couldn't say to your wife, well, I'm only going to give you a lesser amount of food. So same thing with clothing. So this is not normal nowadays, even though in the olden times, there's sort of famous story that Rav Ilson used to tell about Rav Soloveitchik, that for his birthday once, when he was a little kid, he asked his mother for a new pair of pants, because he'd been wearing the same pair of pants for years. You know, they're ripped and patched, and he wanted a new pair of pants. So, because they really couldn't afford new clothes. But his mother answered, by the way, was that the only time in the Torah where we find talk of birthdays is Yom Huledes is Paro. So it's not a... It's not a Jewish Yiddish zach to ask for birthday presents. So anyway,
so he didn't get it.
He couldn't afford it. But nowadays, if you tell your wife, "No, I'm only going to buy you new clothes once every 3 years," that wouldn't fly. It's not appropriate. So the halacha is that one has to provide one's wife with the appropriate food and the appropriate clothing that is worthy of his financial comfort. And that you would be expecting based on what everybody else is getting in society. Doesn't mean you have to go overboard, but you have to make sure that everyone's happy, everyone's receiving their proper share. So that even applies, according to the Rambam points out, that he said that also there was a difference of minag in terms of head coverings. So he says, the Rambam says there are certain places that a woman would only wear like some sort of hat, and there are other places where a woman would wear a scarf that wrapped her whole body. So he says, even though halachically, according to the strict halacha, that's only, I mean, the minag ha-makom may require her to wear the more elaborate headdress. According to the strict halacha, she only has to have a certain type of head covering. So even so, the minag ha-makom, the quasi-halachic minag ha-makom, obligates the husband to give her a redid, he calls, which is a shawl that wraps her whole body. So the same case, so analogy nowadays that if... If you're in the
Borough Park, yeah.
Right, so that's, you know, in Dati Lumi circles in Israel, so women wear mitpachot, they wear kerchiefs, they wear headscarves, which are significantly less expensive than a sheitel. But if you live in a society where the women cover their heads with, where every woman is expected to at least sometimes cover her head with a sheitel, then a husband is required to buy a sheitel for his wife.
Well, I mean, from here, from India.
Right, that's the shaila. But even though they're much more expensive, that's it's absolutely required that the husband has to buy his wife a sheitel. Mm-hmm. So, also, v'inyan chiluk ha'onos, shehu lefi koved umnos ha'ish. So in terms of the conjugal fulfillment that the husband's required to provide for his wife, so that goes according to... not the wife per se, but it goes according to how strenuous the husband's labor is. So it's presuming people who are more relaxed and have to work less will have more energy for satisfying their wife in this way. Ad she'amru zichronim livracha, the Chazal tell us, she'onas hasapan, that the proper interval for having relations for a sailor is pa'mayim b'shana, twice a year, because he goes on long voyages. He's not going to be around. He has to work on the ship. It's very taxing. He's going on long voyages, so he'll only get to be with his wife twice a year. There was a discussion in halacha also. Let's say a man has another job and he wants to become a sailor, so his wife has the right to protest his becoming a sailor for this reason. Very, very infrequent. The gamal pam bechodesh. So somebody who travels by camel, it's once a month because they go on a little bit longer journeys. I mean, shorter journeys than a sailor, but the longer journeys than somebody who works in town. The talmid chacham pam b'shavua, and for a talmid chacham, the proper interval is once a week. The roy lo shetia leil Shabbos, and it's appropriate to make that once a week on Friday nights, because it's considered not only a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ona, but a mitzvah, but part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos also. So, the Yeser Pratea Mevarim B'Seder Noshim Apizor. The rest of the details of this are in the entire Seder Noshim. You can't even pinpoint a tractate about this. Mm-hmm. So there are other things, like it says also that if a man is very comfortable and rich and he doesn't really go to work, he just sits around his house all day, so the appropriate interval is every day. Mm-hmm. And there are other different chilukim in this also.
And this is independent of, you know, childbirth, you know, bearing ability or any of that. This is a, you know.
Right, so that, right. So if the mitzvah of Ona is separate from the ability to bear children, let's say one's wife is past menopause, so this also would apply. Also, of course, for any of these people, it's also considered to be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ona. That's a requirement on the night that one's wife goes to the mikvah, because it's been a little while since they were able to have relations. So since she's been waiting for a long time, then it has to be that night. Even if, let's say, he's a talmid chacham and she's going to the mikvah on a Thursday night, so she wants to maybe wait for Leil Shabbos. So that's also not correct. It's supposed to be the Leil Tevila is in addition. The mikvah night is in addition to all these things. Also, if a woman is clearly presenting herself in a way that we have halacha that we're not supposed to ask for relations explicitly, but if a woman's clearly presenting herself in a way that shows that she's interested at the present time, okay, then it's also considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ona to oblige. If a woman says, let's say, if a woman says she doesn't want, then the husband's obviously not required to satisfy unless they haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of pura virivia, they haven't had two children. In that case, even if the, let's say, the husband's not even allowed to ask for the wife's permission to refrain.
This is not reciprocal at all. In other words, this is purely a right of the woman, not of the man.
Once
the mitzvah purvu has been satisfied, then that...
Well, sort of. I mean, there is a halacha regarding a woman who refuses to have relations with her husband where she could be divorced, basically. Mm-hmm. But the halacha of ona per se, with all these intervals and all these things, this is the right of the woman to demand from the man. But it's sort of, I guess, one without saying more, that when the... that the husband should also be satisfied. By the way, contemporary poskim do not necessarily recommend sticking literally to all these halachos that are found in the classical sources, that especially since nowadays that people are much more exposed to innuendo than they were in the old times and are much more probably more prone to having improper thoughts if they're not satisfied. Then the postgame, I believe, say even for a talmud chacham, even if you think you're a talmud chacham and you should only be having relations once a week, say the minimum for everyone is twice a week. That's I believe what the postgame say. Although of course every couple has to work out what they're comfortable with. And the ikar that the postgame say is that both parties should feel satisfied. Everybody should be able to be focus on all the other things they need to do, and it shouldn't be. Shouldn't be tense, but you shouldn't think you're so holy. Oh, I only do it once a week, but then the rest of the week you're not focused on what you're doing. You're not you're up your head in the shalom bias problems. The point is that my basic point is that the poskim nowadays don't take this so literally that it has to be followed to the letter. So this mitzvah is applicable in all places and all times, of course, when we're talking about a regular wife who's a free woman who gets married of her own accord. But the mitzvah, as it relates to an Amma Ivriya, it only works, obviously, when the Amma Ivriya is applicable, when there is a jubilee year. So let's say you violated this mitzvah and you intentionally withheld one of these three things from your wife. Let's say that you wanted to do it to pain her, not that, let's say, you were so poor, you got so poor, you lost your investment, so for a week you really didn't have any cash on hand, so you couldn't buy her proper clothing. So that's different halachas that govern that. Or let's say you were really not feeling well one Friday night and you didn't want to be intimate. So that's not a violation of this per se. It's only when you have really no good reason and you just are withholding it to pain her. So over Allah, you violated this negative commandment. It's like someone who violated the command of the king. One does not receive lashes for this mitzvah because it's not something that you get up and do. It's withholding something. So it's a ein bo maisa because... it's something that you don't do rather than something that you do.